I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Will Poulter has known success from a very early age, starring in films like one of my personal favourites, Son of Rambo, and in the film adaptations of C.S. Lewis's epic children's books, The Chronicles of Narnia. Since then, he's been steadily building up a rather impressive CV, playing characters that range from the hilarious in the hit comedy We're the Millers, for which he won the BAFTA Rising Star Award, to the unsettling in A24's cult horror Midsommar, alongside Florence Pugh. Now he's embarked on perhaps his biggest adventure yet, certainly a challenging one, entering the Marvel Universe in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 as Adam Warlock, an artificially created villain genetically engineered to be a perfect specimen. Well, Will Poulter joins me live in the studio now and arrived on crutches, I have to tell you. So much for the perfect specimen. It was going to be my first question. What have you done to yourself?
That is, you won't be surprised to hear. And you can see for yourself, not the only thing that's imperfect about me. Kind of head to toe, I don't quite fit that bill. I also don't feel like I am deserving of such an amazing intro. It sounds like you're talking about someone else, but thank you, and I'm grateful to be here.
Not at all. I was a huge fan of Son of Rambo and pointed you out as an absolute star in the making, having spotted, because I'm so old, Leonardo DiCaprio in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Oh, so I've got a good track record.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing company. So, I love that performance from Leo as well.
Oh God, that film is so fantastic still. I just watched it again the other day, actually. I want to talk to you about how you ended up in Son of Rambo and all of those things. But first, let's talk a little bit about Adam Warlock. This genetically engineered, perfect, invincible being. Taking on a part like that in a Marvel movie, you know it's going to be incredibly hard work. Is that the first thing that you sort of think about? Because it's a very different kind of acting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I was kind of nervous about how potentially the sort of size and the scale of the movie and the spectacle around kind of Marvel movies would sort of, I don't know, kind of maybe just intimidate me out of being able to kind of do my job properly. And what really helped in that regard was just how welcoming James, our director, was, and the original cast members were. You know, that kind of new day at school sort of feeling kind of really, really quickly dissipated when I learned just how sort of down to earth and sweet everyone is. And they really try and have a kind of a good time on the Guardian set. And so, yeah, all of those things kind of melted away pretty quickly. And then, you know, there were certain aspects of, you know, preparing for this that were unique. And, you know, the kind of between the hair and makeup, which took like quite a few hours, and wearing a pretty kind of pretty major costume. And then some of the sort of physical aspects of the training that was associated with the role. It was different to anything I'd done before, but all really helped to make me feel kind of more like the character, and I got to work with some amazing people in the process across all those departments.
I love the idea of New Day at School with Sylvester Stallone, Van Diesel and Bradley Cooper all looking at you going, yeah, what have you got?
Yeah, exactly. How the heck did you get on this set? Yeah, and I was asking myself the same question kind of all the way through. But everyone's so great. And they're a really tight-knit bunch. You know, they've been doing these three films over the best part of a decade.
But doesn't that make it harder to be the interloper?
It does a little bit. Yeah, certainly. I was nervous about that. But they're so kind of welcoming. And they talk about the set, you know, as kind of like being a real kind of family atmosphere. And I think that's true, you know, across the cast and crew. Everyone's got to know each other so well. So it just feels like pulling up a seat at the table with a family, and you know they're passing you the food. It's really lovely.
I think that your training for the role actually started quite a while ago in the pandemic when you just started getting fit. Is that right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I've been lucky enough to kind of find that sort of for me, kind of physical exercise has been really, really helpful with regards to my mental health. And so I sort of embarked on that as a means of kind of, you know, sustaining kind of a good level of sort of mental health a number of years ago. And that's something that I kind of relied on more heavily during the pandemic, kind of indoor workouts and, you know, like a lot of people having to kind of improvise with whatever they had in the house or in the garden in order to kind of, try and stay fit. But it was more about kind of sustaining myself mentally. And then I had two jobs post the pandemic, or I should say, you know, post kind of strict lockdown where I was able to go back to work that required me to kind of be in some kind of sort of enhanced physical shape. So I had a kind of head start, you know, before I even auditioned for Guardians. And then when it came to getting that role, I just kind of ramped up the training, and I was lucky. I got to work with Ben Carraway, who designed my program. Aaron Deer was my nutritionist, and then Daryl Richards was my other trainer. And between those three guys and you know, a lot of time and patience on their part, I was able to kind of do it in a way that was safe and natural, and also meant that my long-term mental health didn't suffer through the process, because it's hard work.
Mental health is something that you refer to quite often and also campaign for in various different guises. Why is that something that so concerns you? And actually, I've always imagined that choosing a career as an actor must be a really difficult thing to do if you struggle with mental health issues, because there are so many opportunities for you to feel very bad about yourself, no? I mean, obviously, there's some good ones as well, but it's very much about highs and lows, isn't it?
No, I think you make a very valid point. It's certainly a kind of double-edged sword, I think. You know, first of all, my attachment to mental health as a subject matter and my want to kind of talk about it is because I have lived experience of mental health issues and, you know, long been diagnosed with anxiety, depression and OCD. And so living with that, you know, it's always been a part of my life. So naturally, I've wanted to kind of destigmatize it. At the same time, I'm sort of partly reliant on my mental health struggles in order to kind of do my job, because it allows me to access certain emotions. And then again, in doing my job, I put myself in situations that, you know, are a strain on my mental health. So it's kind of a rock and a hard place. But then again, you know, I ultimately wouldn't change it for as hard as I think I've found, you know, my mental health issues to be. I'm grateful for them at the end of the day, because it helps me appreciate life in ways that I don't think I would be able to were it not for those struggles.
How do you deal with people's interest and extreme nastiness on things like social media, you know, particularly when you play parts that provoke a reaction and things? Do you just avoid it?
Yeah, I think avoidance is genuinely, you know, a very kind of useful tool. Sometimes it doesn't seem to be the most kind of proactive thing to do, right?
But oh no, I think hiding is a really great idea under the duvet straight away.
Yeah, exactly. I think actually, you know, I think detaching yourself from social media is probably kind of the number one sort of piece of advice I'd give to any person who feels like, you know, they might be struggling in this day and age, just because I think the influence of the internet and social media is so pervasive, and, you know, the advent of technology and the internet's influence is only kind of, you know, growing. So I do kind of pull back, and I have found that kind of limiting my sort of social media use and my interaction with technology to, you know, a very, very kind of specific purpose is really, really beneficial to me. And I think it also kind of ensures that what I am putting out is hopefully impacting people in the right way.
I know that the various things that you struggled with made school quite a difficult period for you. So how did you find yourself in drama as a result at that time?
Drama really kind of saved me. I think more specifically Laura Lawson, who was my drama teacher and the creator of School of Comedy, the sketch show I ended up doing, she really saved me, you know. And I think between her and my parents being supportive of my interest in drama, and I think acknowledging that my grades weren't necessarily going to make me a scientist or an engineer or anything like that, you know, they were supportive of me in the creative arts. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, those extracurricular activities, those arts, you know, the dramas, the musics, you know, these sorts of subjects are often kind of looked at as being soft or kind of like ancillary. And I think championing those are really important, because you can't I think, overstate just what an amazing outlet it is for so many young people. You know, I had learning difficulties at school, and you know, I happened to feel a sense of comfort and belonging in the drama room. And you know, just because I didn't feel that in history or English doesn't mean that, you know, I'm any lesser as a student. And I hope that, you know, we continue to support the arts in this country, because you know, from a mental health perspective, I think it's really important that we're offering young people that outlet.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's often overlooked, isn't it, in the whole discussion about the arts. You know, you were sort of told we need the arts, like we need, you know, nutrition.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, there are so many other aspects of it that have a really important role, particularly with young people.
Yeah.
You come from a really interesting family insofar as it's a kind of deeply rooted, caring, medical family. Your mum was a nurse. Your father, a doctor?
A professor of medicine.
Professor of medicine. Mm. So did you feel at any point that you were taking a very sort of shallow, superficial path compared to all of them?
Definitely, you know, and I'm constantly kind of reminded, not by them, but just by observing them, you know, of kind of where my job sits in the context of, you know, society and what's important. Yeah, 100%. You know, my older sister's a nurse. My sister is, my younger sister is a teacher at a SEN school. And my brother also like volunteers his time as a caretaker. So mum being a nurse, dad being a professor of cardiology, I'm surrounded by people who kind of, you know, are an inspiration. And yeah, but nonetheless, they were still supportive of me wanting to do something different. And, you know, I couldn't ask for a better support system.
There must be a sort of sense of the incongruity, I suppose, in a way, when you do a Marvel film, even if it's your first outing, you know, and you get paid fantastically well, and then you look at, you know, what your mother as a nurse would be earning doing a job like that. It must be something that kind of strikes you in terms of the contrast.
100%. I think, yeah, being conscious of that disparity, and, you know, certainly I think I'm aware of the fact that, you know, as actors, I think, you know, we're kind of over celebrated quite honestly. And I think within society, we often look to people who are on the kind of biggest stages or under the kind of brightest spotlights. But, you know, we often, I think, overlook the people who really we all stand on the shoulders of, be it nurses, be it doctors, be it teachers. And so I think that's where, you know, I can, and where it's possible, I've been fortunate enough to collaborate with various organizations and charities, you know, and people who do, to my mind, the really, really kind of important work. And I'm just fortunate enough to be in a position where I can kind of pass the mic on occasion or point in the direction of people who I think are really making a very important difference.
We've talked a little bit about the training, I mean, both, you know, in terms of just, you know, life and going through the pandemic and everything, but also in particular for this movie. And I wondered how much more difficult it was made by the fact that you love food. Because I love food, and the idea of having to go on any kind of restricted diet, I mean, I'm not sure any money would be enough, to be honest.
My love for food and the fact that one of my greatest talents is eating, actually, was definitely at odds with my...
Is it on your CV?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's a light CV, so I put all sorts on there, actor, and then I've got to fill it out somehow. But I was fortunate, though, that, you know, Aaron Deer, my nutritionist, who I mentioned before, you know, he made sure that, you know, even though the challenges that came with following that diet were there, it was still kind of tasty too, for the most part.
But come on, I mean, I know people sort of dismiss acting as, you know, where you just have to go and you do a performance. And tell me how much work to do this particular part as Adam Warlock. Training, makeup, costume, getting fitted on. How many hours of the day would that all take before you actually got to do your bit, which was the acting?
I mean, to be honest, a lot of the... apart from the training, you know, which was kind of several months, you know, the day-to-day work in order to kind of create Adam is nothing I can really take credit for until the cameras are rolling, because before then it's the work of the costume department, the makeup team and the hair team. So the constructions of those looks, I mean, you know, they've poured months of work into that. And then day to day, they're spending hours kind of actually sort of applying the makeup, applying the hair. So that together would have been
about... How long are you sitting
there? Probably 2 hours. But, you know, but I am sitting there, whereas they're really kind of executing. I kind of, you know, the irony being I'm a superhero and I can't even dress myself. You know, I couldn't even bend over to put my own boots on. So, again, I'm not even doing that. And now I'm on crutches. Now I've got no hope. But, so all of that credit goes to the people who work in those departments. And they're so talented. I mean, genuinely, to watch them at work every day was so cool, and they replicate the same look with a perfect level of continuity every single time under that kind of time pressure, and I really just kind of sit there. My job doesn't really kick in until I've had a few coffees and I've got some lines to say.
I realised I said you love food, and I just made you sound like you were just some very greedy person who just loved food.
Well, but I mean, I am, though, to be honest.
But you literally do love food. I mean, and I think you dabble in cooking, and where was it born? Because you're also a particular, I mean, you like kind of a lot of very diverse food. It's not kind of just like bring me my meat.
Right. Yeah. I guess I grew up with my mum cooking. My mum trained at a cookery school, and she's like the best cook I know. I know like sons are very biased about their parents cooking. Like, I know that there's a, you know, a lot of people will cite their mum or their dad's food as being like the best, but my mum's is particularly good. So I guess watching her, observing her, I read a book called Kitchen Confidential a number of years ago by Anthony Bourdain, who, you know, was one of my heroes, the late, great Anthony Bourdain. I recommend it to anyone.
Though, have you read that bit where he describes eating one of those tiny birds, those little songbirds?
Oh, yes.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, oh my gosh, you took me back there.
Yeah, no, that was. But anyway, we'll move on, because that's really grotesque.
But no, but that was a turning point.
I was only reminded about it because I was reading Ben Goldsmith's brilliant new memoir. I'm going to be talking about it with him tomorrow. And he's got that paragraph in there, and I just, bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's the food bit.
Yeah, that was definitely the thing that kind of like sparked my interest in it. And then ever since then, I've kind of been obsessed with chefs, and chefs have always been kind of rock stars to me. So
which chef would you play?
Are you
a sort of
gosh.
Marco Pierre White, demented, deranged in the kitchen? Are you Gordon Ramsay, like, we can't actually do any of the words he would have used.
I hope I take a kinder tone with my brigade of chefs. I love food from, as you kind of mentioned, like lots of different sort of cultures. I think, one of the food cultures that I think is massively underrepresented at the fine dining level is food of African origin. And the best restaurant I've been to recently is a restaurant called Akoko in London, and it was recently overlooked by Michelin, which I think is a great shame.
Akoko, I'm writing
Akoko,
it down now.
Yeah.
From which region of Africa?
So, predominantly West Africa. But there have actually only ever been 4 Michelin stars held by black chefs ever. since Michelin's inception. And there's currently one in America. I recently went there. But yeah, it's a massive oversight of food of African origin and black chefs in general. But a cocoa deserves a star. That's just my
opinion. There's a lot of great African food, actually, in London in general.
Unbelievable.
I'm not so sure about other parts of the country, but I know we're spoiled for choice.
We're really spoiled here. Yeah.
Quite like a bit of Eritrean myself.
Eritrean food's incredible. Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a great place in Shepherd's Bush, but I can't remember the name of it.
Oh.
Now, I know there's another obsession of yours that we do have to briefly touch on, which is collecting trainers.
Yeah.
Not quite as wholesome.
No, more soulsome.
Yeah. More soulsome. Very good. Baboom. Yeah. why collecting trainers? And I believe you favour one firm as well. Are you looking for a contract by any chance?
I'm pretty loyal to Nike, but that's just out of genuine, you know, love for the brand. I'm not like officially tied up or anything like that.
It's only a matter of time. Only a matter of time.
I wouldn't be mad if that happened, of course. But no, I do have. I'm not a collector per se because I sort of can't resist wearing them. Yeah, exactly. And I have limited myself. Like, I haven't got sort of like a warehouse of shoes or anything like that. But I just really appreciate footwear. It's my one slightly guilty pleasure as far as like, kind of collecting is concerned.
It'd be slippers for the next couple of months, won't it?
Yeah, I can only wear one at a time at the moment because of the boot that I have to wear for my fractured ankle.
That's good, less wear and tear. I think you've got I don't think I asked you, from playing basketball, very sporty.
Playing basketball.
Training, was it? Or,
yeah, no,
or
this was playing a sport I had no business even attempting. It's the second time I've rolled my ankle playing basketball. And if that's not a sign that I'm too British and I should just kind of pare back and know my place and stick to football, then I don't know what is.
Just finally, obviously a great career highlight and triumph, snogging Jennifer Aniston at the age of 19.
Well, I feel sorry for Jennifer, and it was definitely in character and not outside of the requirements of work.
But I mean, she's gorgeous. How would you top that? I mean, how are you going to top that? I mean,
oh, look, Jennifer's such a wonderful person. Getting to work with Jennifer, you know, was amazing. Someone I'd admired for a long time while watching Friends. And
were you a teenage Friends addict?
Yeah, me and my sister grew up watching Friends together and collecting the DVDs.
Well, that must have felt really weird when you had to kiss
box
her there.
Well, I just feel sorry for Jen, but she was very sweet about it. And anyone who's ever done an on-screen kiss knows that it's the least romantic thing and the most awkward and technically sort of strange thing to kind of do. But she was very, very sweet about it. And, as a young, quite nervous actor in that scenario, she put me at ease, and I appreciated that because I was shaking like a leaf.
And just finally, playing a Marvel character, you obviously want them to return, I presume. But there is also that element where they can take over your life, can't they? A bit like, I don't know, playing Batman or something like that. Is that something that you kind of think about? And how important is it for you to sort of balance people's perception of you as a Marvel hero, alongside the fact that you've been a brilliant character actor for the course of your career since you emerged as a child?
That's kind of you to say. I mean, first of all, I feel really lucky that it's my job first and foremost, you know, and I've worked to the extent that I have. I think as an actor, you can never kind of take that for granted and lose sight of how lucky you are to be in relatively consistent work. And, you know, I've had my periods without work for sure. But, you know, when something like this comes along, you know, there is a sort of at least a chance of a certain kind of longevity, or there's a chance of kind of consistency. And that's hard to come by, particularly, you know, in the context of films as kind of beloved and well supported as the Marvel films are. So I'm really, really grateful and definitely no complaints. And also Marvel have been very, very good, I think, over the years about, you know, introducing actors and accommodating their other kind of pursuits and engagements, you know. And I think at the point where you have people like, you know, Angela Bassett and Natalie Portman and, you have Jake Gyllenhaal, you know, these huge actors, you know, you have to be able to accommodate their kind of schedules. So mine is a relatively light lift, I think, for them.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello
Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.